Welcome to CTV News Trendline with Michael Stittle and Nick Nanos.
Nick, conservative leader Pierre Poilievre has been repeating the sentiment that everything in Canada seems broken. He's referring to lack of affordable housing, in some cases crime rates, cost of living, of course. Now, I want to play a clip for you and also Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's response to that.
Everything feels broken. Nothing is worse, though, than the price of food. You know, we see food prices are up 11%. That's a 40-year high in food price inflation. And we have one in five Canadians who are actually skipping meals because they cannot afford the price of food.
Mr. Poilievre might choose to undermine our democracy by amplifying conspiracy theories. He might decide to run away from journalists when they ask him tough questions. That's how he brands himself. That's his choice. But when he says that Canada is broken, that's where we draw the line.
Nick, it begs the question, though, how do Canadians really feel about this country right now and its institutions? And you've done a major survey just on that.
Yeah, it's not very good, Michael. You know, the thing is that we've been tracking over the last few years, you know, a pretty simple question. We ask Canadians whether they're satisfied or not satisfied on a scale of 0 to 10. You know, back in 2021, you know, we got I'll call it a 7.2 out of 10. But in 2022, that dropped to 6.8. But right now, in the survey that we just recently completed, we can see that it's basically dropped to 6.6 out of 10, which is not a great score. And what we're seeing is basically a decline or a drop in the proportion of Canadians who feel satisfied about the country. So, you know, when Pierre Poilievre says that kind of stuff, it resonates. And, you know, the other thing that he's trying to do clearly is to pin his broken narrative on Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, with them being responsible for breaking Canada. And this is very different from opposition leaders in the past. Usually they just basically say that the government of the day doesn't do a very good job and they're incompetent and not great and they're dropping the ball. In this particular case, what Pierre Poilievre is saying is that the Liberals are specifically responsible for breaking Canada, and that this is a whole new level of rhetoric that we're seeing on the opposition bench.
Is there any interesting trends in the demographic breakdown for this survey?
Well, I'm not sure if I'd use the word interesting. They are interesting, but they're actually absolutely dismal. We talked about the national number for satisfaction at 6.6, but when we look at Canadians that are under 35 years of age, that drops to 5.8. And put this into context. Think of it this way, Michael. If this was a report card, you know, the national report card right now would be a C. Canadians would give Canada a C on the satisfaction front. But for individuals that are under 35 years of age, that C grade drops to a D. It's not a failure yet. But, you know, for the Liberals, considering the fact that, you know, in their big win in 2015, they motivated a lot of young people to vote. I think if you had said, you know, fast forward from 2015 to 2023, that young people would be the most pessimistic, that young people would be the least satisfied, you'd probably be very surprised, because, you know, the thing is that young people are usually the most optimistic and positive because they're healthy, they're starting to get jobs, and they're at the beginning of their earning cycle and earning career. So those young numbers for Canadians and their level of satisfaction is absolutely brutal.
Nick, what about the institutions? Are there any that took a particular hit?
Yeah, actually, all of our political institutions from top to bottom, you know, and we tested on the Senate and the House of Commons and stuff like that. You know, the institutions that are most likely to drive satisfaction in a positive way include Canada's college universities and our healthcare system. So they're at the top of the list in terms of things that make Canadians feel better about the country. But at the bottom of the list, basically, are all of our political institutions. You know, the Governor General is actually the one institution that registered an improvement, but the scores for the Governor General are still soft, and probably a result of the previous Governor General and the damage that individual had on the institution.
The sentiment that, you know, everything in this country feels broken, it's It's very reminiscent of a certain campaign slogan, "South of the Border," I have to say, which was successful for Donald Trump. I just have to say, if you're the Liberals and you're in charge of the government right now, how do you? I mean, it's a pretty big political problem. How do you counter this?
Well, I don't think it's enough to say that you know, they draw the line to say that Canada is not broken, because the fact of the matter is you know, when one out of every four Canadians are worried about whether they'll be able to pay the rent or the mortgage in the next 30 days, and when young people are cutting back on groceries and actually eating less because they can't afford the grocery bills, that's a problem. We haven't seen that type of significant pressure in quite a long time. And, you know, the thing is maybe this is about, you know, perhaps some party stepping up to give hope. And I think that's what's missing right now. There's not a lot of hope out there among young people. And even for older Canadians, they're not very hopeful about the future compared to the past. So I think that probably the better Liberal response would be to have some sort of narrative to say, where are jobs going to come from in the future? And how can people participate in those jobs? And there's a reason to have hope. But, you know, I don't think it's enough to say it's not broken, you know, for one party to say it is broken, the other one to say it's not broken. And I think people would want to hear from the Conservatives also, like, where are jobs going to come from? And you know, it's fine and fair for Pierre Poilievre to say that Canada is, in his opinion, broken. But I think Canadians eventually are going to want to hear from him to say, okay, say you become prime minister someday. You believe that the country's broken. What's your plan to fix it? So it's probably the next step that's going to be of most interest to Canadians.
This is a good segue into our weekly ballot tracking numbers. I'm curious how much of an impact this is having on the Liberal support and Conservative support.
Yeah, check out the trend line, Michael. You know, when we look at the trend line over the last number of weeks, we see actually the Liberal support going up when the focus was on healthcare and the healthcare agreement that they had with a number of the provinces. But what we've now seen in the last number of weeks are the Liberal numbers going down. So we have the Conservatives at 33. No big change for the Conservatives, but look, the Liberals are down 4 or 5 percentage points to 28 over the last 4 weeks. The NDP are flat. The Bloc are up to 9%. And so they're up, and that's, you know, 9% nationally for the Bloc is actually significantly higher in the province of Quebec. So what's happening right now is, you know, the Conservative numbers are holding. There's been downward pressure on the Liberals, which is bad. Any number for the Liberals that has a 2 in front of it is bad news. And the NDP are at 21, so they're in the low 20s. With the Bloc up, that's the scenario that creates vote splits. It creates vote splits in Quebec. It creates vote splits in Ontario and British Columbia. And those vote splits usually hurt the Liberals, and they help when it comes to generating seats, both with federal Conservatives and the New Democrats.
What about the preferred PM numbers now with Justin Trudeau and Pierre Poilievre?
Well, when we look at the long-term trend, and we know historically that whoever happens to be prime minister usually has about a 4 to 5 point baked-in advantage because they're sitting in the chair. But when you check out the trend right now, you can see almost a perfect statistical dead heat between Justin Trudeau and Pierre Poilievre. Trudeau at 27.5. Pierre Poilievre at 27.3. So, you know what, factoring the margin of error and the rounding and stuff like that, they're basically at the same level. Trudeau's down a full 5 points in the last 4 weeks. Pierre Poilievre's up to. Jagmeet Singh's at 16, which isn't a bad number for the New Democrats. But, you know, basically, whenever you're the incumbent prime minister and you don't have an advantage over your challenger, That's bad news. And Pierre Poilievre has been able to hold his old numbers, but the Trudeau numbers have gone down in the last 4 weeks.
Well, the Liberals have a big opportunity coming up. They've announced their federal budget for March 28th. I'm curious, Nick, if you're expecting any big ticket items out of that. We're going to talk about that after our quick little break.
Super.
So, Nick, the theme of this episode seems to be that, you know, the Liberals are facing an uphill battle, I think it's fair to say. But they've got a federal budget coming up on March 28th. That's a big opportunity for them to turn things around. So what sort of, you know, big ticket items can we expect, or should we be expecting?
Well, the stakes are quite high for the Liberals in this budget. And, you know, every budget is important for whoever the government of the day happens to be, because it's usually a platform to dominate the narrative, be in the news, and get your message out. The other complication is that, you know, the Liberals do have a partner in Parliament, the New Democrats, and they have to put something in the window for the New Democrats to keep them happy, because, you know, the NDP are going to want something. So that, you know, the big question is, you know, what will there be in the federal budget that the Liberals will have to placate or ameliorate the New Democrats, and what will Jagmeet Singh be asking for? I think the reality is that the NDP are probably going to support the budget regardless, because I'm not sure if they want an election right now. But depending on how closely the Liberals appease or not appease the New Democrats, that'll probably be the first signal as to how long this particular parliament could last. Because if the Liberals are strident in terms of not doing anything for the NDP, that'll basically put everyone on notice that we could be heading into an election. If the Liberals appease the NDP, then it'll look like they'll be wanting to keep this particular parliament alive as long as possible. The interesting thing is that, you know, we ask Canadians, you know, which parties they trust to responsibly manage the finances of the government of Canada. And we have some baseline numbers to compare it against. And, you know, the good news for the Conservatives and the bad news for the Liberals is that Canadians are more likely to trust the Conservatives rather than the Liberals to responsibly manage the finances of the government. About 28% trust the Conservatives. It's up about 5 points. About 22% trust the Liberals. They're down 6 points. The NDP are at 9, which is not a big surprise. But one out of every four trust none of them, and 6% say it doesn't really make any difference. So it's kind of like a pox on all your homes. But, you know, right now it looks like the Conservatives are more likely to be comparatively trusted compared to the Liberals. So this is going to be an important budget for Chrystia Freeland, because it's going to be a post-pandemic budget. How much spending will there be? There'll be less spending than in the past, but how fiscally restrained will the Liberals be? We don't really know yet, but they're signaling that there's, you know, it's going, they believe that they're going to be putting forth or what they would consider a prudent budget. But the stakes are exceptionally high for the Liberals, factoring the trend line and the ballot numbers, especially where they're on a negative trajectory right now. And they have to try to reverse that particular trend that's working against them. They also have to work to keep the New Democrats not happy, but they have to keep the New Democrats not unhappy is probably a better way to describe it.
So I guess like one thing that we know will be in the budget is the healthcare spending, after the federal liberals have made a lot of deals with provinces on to boost spending. And it sounds like, though, Canadians are preferring the Conservatives when it comes to trust and handling our economy. So I guess they're walking a fine line between, you know, financial responsibility and spending to fix some chronic issues.
Yeah. And, you know, the polling also suggests, you know, we know that healthcare continues to be the top unprompted national issue of concern. So perhaps one path forward for the Liberals that would keep the New Democrats happy and help them is to re-engage on healthcare. If they could add something new on the healthcare front, that would probably be well received. And we also know by looking at the trend line is that the Liberal numbers went up when they focused on healthcare. And after they stopped focusing on healthcare, then the Liberal numbers went back down. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something on healthcare in order to try to reverse the trend that's currently working against the Liberals.
Well, we'll keep our eyes open and see what happens on March 28th, Nick. As always, thanks.
Take it easy.